Romans chapter 13. Verse 11 of Romans 13. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. It's amazing that the Lord could draw the heart of the well-known Saint Augustine to himself through this specific portion of Scripture. Those of us who read of his life, he was a man living in sin, all kinds of horrible sins, and his mom kept on praying for the salvation of his soul, until one day the Spirit of God got a hold of his heart, and this portion right here of Scripture, God spoke to him and changed his life and his heart, and he became the well-known Saint Augustine. One day after his conversion, was walking down the street in the places he was going just to shop for some food or whatever. And then one of the ladies that he had those relationships with before, she called him, "Augustine, Augustine." And he looked and he saw her, knew her, and he didn't mind her and kept on going his way. She kept on after him, calling him. Finally, she pulled him by his robe and looked him in the eye. "Don't you remember me?" And he replied and he said, "The Augustine that you know is now dead. Here's a new Augustine." And he kept on going his way. Beloved, this can be told of millions, literally millions, that the Lord Jesus, our blessed Lord Jesus, have captured their hearts and change their lives. And how it is very fitting, after we've been looking of what's going to take place after the Lord Jesus will come back for his own, that is us, the church, and to receive us to himself, to rescue us from the wrath to come. How fitting for us, beloved, to hear the exhortation of Paul, and do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Beloved, only us, the believers, the church, only us know the time. Go to CNN, go to the White House, go to the Kremlin in Russia, go wherever you want to go. They don't know what time is it now. They don't, because they don't have not only the Word of God, I should say, but they don't have the Spirit of God. But we know. And since we know, do we act upon of what we know? And here the apostle is saying, knowing the time, that now, it's not tomorrow, it's now. Now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Paul Revere, on that night, when he knew of the British army going through the river, I think it was the Concord River, correct me please, and he was going to attack the two cities of Concord and Lexington. And he knew of what's going to take place. And then what did he do? He did not go to sleep. He got on his horse and he was galloping from one city to the other. And he was saying one word. Wake up! The British are upon you. Wake up! The enemy is upon you. Get up! Take your armor. Stand to defend your children and your family and your freedom. And beloved, we need another Paul Revere in our midst. Not to tell us to get up and defend ourselves from enemies coming to attack us. Physically, that is to say. We need to get up, beloved, for it is a high time for us to get up because, yes, the enemy is upon us, and that is the devil. And yes, he has crept inside of us. And this, the church that was supposed to be in the world, but not of the world, sadly to say that the world has become now in the church. It is high time to awake out of sleep. Why do we go to sleep? Physically, I'm speaking. We go to sleep because it's a need for the body to rest, right? A lot of times, my children, they fight to go to sleep with most of our beautiful children. They don't like to sleep, but it's needed for us. But this sleep, the spiritual sleep, it's not needed for us. As a matter of fact, it's a calamity for us, as it has been brought up by Brother John. When we fall asleep physically, it is good for our bodies. When we fall asleep spiritually, it's horrible for our souls and our spiritual lives. And here, beloved, it is high time to awake out of sleep. Why? He's given us a very important reason why we need to do so. Because for now, not only because the Lord asks us to do so, watch and be vigilant for prayer, not only because of that, but there's another reason, that is, our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. You are forgetting an important thing, dear believers. My dear brothers and sisters, Paul could say, we are lost sight of something very important. What is it? Our salvation is drawing nearer and nearer than the day when we first believed. Oh, I thought we had been saved already. What do you mean we need to experience another salvation? Oh, yes, it is the salvation in its third phase. Oh, salvation has phases? Yes. Yes, beloved, our salvation, when I first came to the Lord Jesus as a wretched sinner, my heart was broken over my sins, and I hated my life in sin and in misery and in woe, and I came to the Lord Jesus, and I asked Him, Lord Jesus, save me. He did. He saved me eternally. And if I were to die, I would go to be with Christ, which is far better, because by grace I have been saved. But that salvation, it is eternal, and my soul has been saved, but I'm still here, and I'm experiencing something within me and something without me. I'm experiencing from within, I'm experiencing something called sin that is in me. I'm experiencing the flesh that is in me and its lusts and desires to do that which is contrary to the new nature that I have received at the moment of my second birth. So there is a problem from within, but there are problems from outside. There are the tribulations. There are the hardships of life that I cannot do it on my own. So therefore, when I came to the Lord Jesus in the past and I asked Him to save me, He saved me from the wages of sin. Because the wages of sin were death, eternal death that is. But now, in my life with the Lord Jesus, I need Him to be my Savior also. He will save me from the dominion of sin within me. And not only that, beloved, He is saving me from all the tribulations and the trials that come my way. If it wasn't for the Lord Jesus, and if it wasn't for this lovely man in the glory, the glorified man in the glory, in the throne of God, beloved, we all would have been perished. None of us would have stayed here. Romans 5:10, we shall be saved through His life. He is now on the right hand of God, and His presence in the throne of God maintain and guarantees this life that He has given. But here comes what He's talking about here. Though He has saved me in the past from the wages of sin, and now He is saving me from the dominion of sin and from the hardships around me, but a time will come where He will save me from this body of sin. And this is what He's talking about here. He's talking that our salvation, where we shall be saved once and for all, out of the scene of misery, out of the scene of sin. I don't know if it grieves your heart or no, but it does grieve my heart. And I believe every true child of God, it grieves his heart. Oh, when I commit sin. Oh, when I fall into sin. Oh, it breaks my heart. Of course, it breaks his heart first. And then, because the Spirit of God is within me, because I have a new nature, it grieves me. And you know, I look forward to the Lord's coming, beloved. I look forward to see Him as He is. And I don't know if you agree with me or no, but I look forward to see Him, and that He will set me free from this body of sin, that I may not grieve His heart anymore. That I may not insult Him and bring grief to His beautiful heart. Oh, beloved, He is coming very soon. And it is time for us to wake up. It is a high calling for us, high time to wake, because our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. I remember when I first believed, it was 20 years ago. I don't know about you, 30, 40, 5 years ago, maybe yesterday, maybe today. I pray that some souls will come to know the Lord today. I pray that some will come, those who are in need of salvation. If you're still a sinner living in sin, and there is no conviction, you're drinking sin as you drink a cup of water and then you don't feel anything, well, you need to check yourself. You need to examine your faith. What faith you have? A faith of demons? The demons believe, James could say, and they tremble. Simon, as Brother Jake brought out, he also believed and he was baptized. And maybe you're breaking bread. And maybe you're ministering and serving. But guess what? There's no life on the inside because there is no repentance. Faith without repentance will take you straight to hell, my friend. And faith, and also repentance without faith in the crucified and the person of the Lord Jesus dying for you on the cross, also won't help you. They have to go hand in hand. Repentance unto God, and then faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Salvation, our salvation, is nearer than when we first believed. When I first believed 20 years ago, I was looking forward for the Lord's coming. But now, after 20 years, oh yes, it's only but maybe a step. It's only maybe but a moment, and the Lord will come. And I love it what He says in 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 9 and 10. How you came back to God from idols, to worship Him, to serve Him, and to wait for His Son, to serve the true and the living God, and to wait for His Son, whom He has raised from the dead, even, and I love this, Jesus. Even Jesus, who's going to rescue us from the wrath to come. The same blessed Lord, the Lord Jesus, the same person that He saved me, the same person that He loved me and loves me, the same person that I served, that I worshiped, that I sung to, that I prayed to, that I wept at His feet, the same blessed person, I'm going to behold Him face to face. Soon, very soon. This is why I emphasize the fact, beloved, we don't wait for an event to take place. We are waiting for a beautiful, a blessed, a loving person who loved me when He gave Himself for me on the cross. He's loving me right now. He's keeping that salvation when He is on the right hand of God. And He will continue to love me to the end when He will come Himself. And I appreciate the thought that Brother David brought out. The elect of the Jewish nation, the Lord Jesus will send His angels, go fetch them, fetch my elect. But us, His bride, would He send angels? Would He send Archangel Michael, for example? No. He Himself died for us on the cross, and He Himself is the one who's going to come down from heaven to receive his bride. The father will tell him, son, my son, go down and fetch your bride. Oh, what a moment that will be when the Lord Jesus himself will come and fetch us unto himself. Okay, in light of these things, the night is far spent, Paul could say. The day is at hand. Which night that is? The night of the absence of the Lord from this world. Oh, beloved, this world is in deep darkness because the Lord Jesus is not here. When he was here, he said, I am the light of the world. But then when he left, we are the light of the world. And the Bible says in 1 John 3 that the true light now shines. Beloved, we are the light of the world now. We are the true light. It's not because there's light within us. We have the generator within us to generate light. No, we just reflect that light. We reflect his light that has shined upon our hearts, and we reflect it to the world around us. The night is far spent, and as we're told, that the darkest hours of the night are those right before dawn. It's dark out there. I don't think it ever got darker than it is right now. And the dawn is but a moment. And the morning star will shine, and we shall be caught up to be with him. The day is at hand. Yes, the Lord Jesus, when the day will come, he will appear as the Son, S-U-N, of righteousness, Malachi 4. And the Son of righteousness, he will bring healing in his wings. But before that, before the sun rises, those who await in the morning, they are awaiting the morning star before the Son of righteousness will appear. But then he carries on to say, therefore, this is where we're at. And I love it. Every time in scriptures, beloved, Old and New Testament, when there is talk about the second coming of the Lord Jesus, in the Old Testament, he's speaking of the appearing, the revelation. But in the New Testament, when he speaks about rapture and the appearing, always there are exhortations about how we are to live our lives. Since the Lord is coming, the Lord could say, since I'm coming, what manner of men and women you ought to conduct yourself. How we ought to live our lives. Do we carry on? Just like as Brother Emil brought out in the days of Noah. Everything was going fine and handy and dandy, I should say. And then, you know, I like what Brother Emil brought out. You know, when there is a catastrophe, you know, the president, the people go, of course, and they comfort the people. But they say, you know what? Carry on. Go back to your normal life. Carry on. No, we shouldn't carry on. We should be alerted. We should be awakened. We cannot carry on the same way we were. 1 Peter 4, Peter could say, the day of life that has passed away suffices us. It is enough that we have lived for ourselves, that we have lived for the will of men, that the remaining time we have here on earth, that we shouldn't live it for ourselves, we shouldn't live it for the will of men, but for the will of God in our lives. 2 Corinthians 5:14 through 16, it says, beloved, for the love of Christ constrains us. And we reckon this, if one man dies, then all have died. That those who live should no longer live to themselves, but to him who died for them and rose again. Our lives, it's not ours. What we have in our hands is not ours. Everything I have is not mine. The Lord has given us gifts, talents, natural gifts, and spiritual talents. Beloved, we need to put it in the Lord's use. But first, it's my heart. You know, I can do all things right on the outside, but then what's the condition of my heart? I remember a dear brother said, you know, the problem, the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. And that's very true. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. And let us put on the armor of light. When you woke up this morning, you had to wake up. You know, the clock or whatever, mom and dad, young people came and woke you up several times. We need to be on time, like we do. And then we woke up. But after we woke up, what did we do? We took off the sleeping clothes, didn't we? And then we put on our clothes that we're seeing in right now, didn't we? I mean, that's easy, right? Wake up, put off, and put on. It's very simple. Beloved, The second coming of the Lord, it should have us do all these three things. We need to wake up. We need to be sensitive that the times we're living aren't, beloved, they're not usual times. They are unusual times. The history, all time history, we have never been through what we are going through right now. Maybe 30 years ago, 40 years ago, our brethren, when they read the book of Revelation, maybe they couldn't see what we are seeing right now. Or they could have, you know, interpreted it the way we can see it today. Of course, we don't read the Bible and the book of Revelation and the prophetic portion. We don't read it in light of what's taking place. But we can read what's taking place in light of what the scriptures say. But then it says here, that therefore let us cast off the works of darkness. What are those works of darkness? Verse 13, let us walk properly as in the day, not in... Could you please someone read that word for me? I'm having a hard time pronounce it. Reveling. Thank you. Not in reveling and dark drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. Could these six works be in me as a believer? Sadly to say, yes. Could I be doing these things while I'm saying I'm waiting for the Lord? Sadly to say, yes. Sadly. But then he's saying, take him off. It is time to cast him off. Those are the works of darkness. Ye are sons of light. And we need to act as sons of light, 1 Thessalonians 5. We're not of darkness. Once upon time, Ephesians 5, 8 and 9, we were darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. And then verse 14, it says, therefore, he says, awaken you who sleep, and then Christ will light you up. Beloved, we need to be awakened so Christ will light us up. And we need to put them all off. And then how he put the strife and envy in the next of all those immoral sins. You may say, well, you know what? I don't practice the first four sins, you know, but how about the strife and the envy? Oh, beloved, when I'm jealous of my brother, I desire that he doesn't enjoy what he's have. When I envy my brother, then I desire what he has becomes mine. But when I kill my brother, it's not I desire what he has becomes mine. I desire that my brother will get out of the scene. You see how it goes? Jealousy, envy, killing. Beloved, could these things, the envy and the strife, could be amongst the saints, the people of God? Sadly to say, yes. But may the Lord help us. Those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with all its passions. But then after he said cast off, he said put on. What do we need to put on? We need to put on the armor of light. And those are mentioned in Ephesians 6. But then I just want to wrap up with verse 14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. And how I love it here, he gives the Lord Jesus his full name. The Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of so-called now Bible teachers, we see them on TV and we hear them on radio. And please hear me out. They just keep on calling the Lord Jesus. They keep on calling him Jesus. Jesus said, Jesus went, Jesus gone. Beloved, you know who addresses the Lord Jesus by his name, only Jesus like this? You know who does that? The devil. And we shouldn't address the Lord Jesus just like that. He is Lord. And when we address him as Lord, we don't make him Lord. We just acknowledge it. And I believe, who was the man who wrote My Utmost for His Highest? Oswald Chambers, he said. Thank you. If the Lord Jesus is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. It's either we bring everything under his lordship and we tell him, you are the Lord and we are the servants, then it's not going to work. I cannot keep anything for myself. He has redeemed me. He has purchased me. I belong. My whole soul and being and everything belongs to him. So first, I need to acknowledge him as my Lord. And then the Lord Jesus, His beautiful human name, when He came into the scene, and I follow in His footstep. When Paul wrote the Philippians, the epistle to the Philippians, beloved, he did not address himself as the Apostle Paul, though he did in many places. But when it came to Philippians, he couldn't. He couldn't address himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ. He said, Paul and Silas are servants of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he was about to write about the one who is in the form of God, who is God Himself, emptied Himself, taking the form of a servant. If he, blessed be His name, the Lord Jesus, who is God Himself, emptied Himself and took the form of a servant, then who am I but a servant of Him who out of love and in grace accepted to take that form of a servant and to be obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And then Christ. This man that you have killed, God has made Him Lord and Christ, Peter could say. He is the one who is and dominion over me. And in soon, very soon coming day, the Lord Jesus will be in dominion over the whole universe. Not only the earth, not only the heavens, but over all the universe. May we bow our heads in prayer, please. And I would like to ask two questions. First, is the Lord Jesus your Lord and Savior? You could say, well, He is the Lord of my mom and dad. Or you could say, He is Lord and He is Savior. But my question again back to you, is He your Lord and your Savior? If He's not, and I pray that you would be sincere in your answer, what are you waiting for, my dear friend? A time will come where you will seek Him to be your Lord and Savior, and it will be too late. The Bible says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him, for He is near. A time will come where you'll seek Him and you will not find Him. A time will come, you will call upon Him and He won't be around. It will be too late. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just sharing the truth with you. Now, you can possess now. You can do something now, but you can't do something in 5 minutes. You can't do something in 20 minutes or 30 minutes or an hour or day or two. Now you can do that. The Bible says now is acceptable time. Now is a day of salvation. Therefore, it is time to seek the Lord now. What time is it now? If you're not saved, if you don't know if the Lord Jesus is your Lord and Savior, now. Why don't you call Him to your heart right now? Now. But you won't do that unless you recognize that you're a sinner. And because you're a sinner, then you're guilty. And because you're guilty, then you are lost. And the judgment of God awaits you. It is written, and as it is appointed for men to die once, and after that the judgment. Why? Why would you die and suffer the judgment of God? Or why would the Lord Jesus come and receive His own to Himself and you will be left behind for the wrath to come and for the wrath of God that will abide upon you forever? Why? And the Lord Jesus on the cross endured the wrath of God on your behalf. Just come to Him humbly with a broken heart and tell Him, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, full of sin, full of shame, full of woe. I cannot save myself. As a matter of fact, I hate myself and my sins. But I come to You, Lord Jesus, to be my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart. I receive You by faith. I assure you, my dear friend, based on the authority of the Word of God, if you were to pray such a prayer with your own words, but you mean it from the heart, that the Lord Jesus will come and will save you. And he could tell you, oh, your sins are forgiven you. And he could tell you, he who comes unto me, I will in no mean cast out. And the second question I have for all of us, dear brothers and sisters, are we ready for the Lord's coming? You may say, well, yes, Brother Ishmael, we have prayed and asked the Lord, we've been saved. Are we ready practically? Someone said, live as if the Lord died yesterday, rose today, and is coming tomorrow. Oh, what a wonderful life that would be. Afresh, the Lord Jesus has been slain for me. And he has been risen today for me. And he's coming, I may not say tomorrow, but today for me. Oh, what a life that would be. Are we ready? By proclaiming these good news to the lost sinners, lost world, dear souls around us who need the Lord. Precious Lord Jesus, we pray that you would save that precious soul neareth hell even now. And how we pray that you would get a hold of our hearts. Set it on fire, precious Lord Jesus. And help us to live for you and to await your soon coming, Lord Jesus. Your precious name we ask. Amen.